story. In 1930, oil had been discovered in the area, and the local economy was booming. In 1932, the new London school was built at a cost of $1 million, which would now be about $18 million. They were also quite proud of their new stadium, which was the first in the state of Texas to have electric lighting. The new school was built on sloping ground with a large airspace underneath it. Gas heaters were installed throughout the building for heat. 5 years later, the school board canceled their natural gas contract and had plumbers install a tap into a nearby oil company's residue gas line to save money. This was a widespread practice in the area at that time, as natural gas was extracted with the oil, but then was considered a waste product and had to be flared or burned off. This highly unpredictable form of natural gas, it varied constantly in quality, and as it was untreated, it was odorless and colorless. At some time between 3:05 and 3:20 p.m. on March 18, 1937, witnesses say that the walls of the school bulged. The roof lifted from the building and then crashed back down, and the main wing of the structure collapsed. The force of the explosion was so great that a 2-ton concrete block was thrown from the building and crushed a car parked 200 feet away. It was later discovered that the connection to the oil company's line was faulty. The connection had allowed gas to leak into the airspace below the school. As it was untreated, the gas was invisible and odorless, and so no one noticed. Thus later, the ruling by the Texas legislature to add an odor to natural gas. Although no one was ruled responsible, many lives were forever changed, as close to 300 perished in the explosion. One account that I read recently stated that when investigators questioned people related to the incident, that one stated that they had overheard that there was a faulty construction in the gas line. What, the investigator said? Did you report this to anyone? Well, no. How severely tragic. How do we think God views Christians who are uncaring about those who are lost? What does God think about apostolics who have the truth, yet are not interested in sharing the gospel with those around us? Jonah didn't care about how many Ninevites went to hell. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to pay the price. He didn't want to chance suffering rejection. He didn't want to be uncomfortable. And so he boarded a boat to Tarshish. But God will use any means available to reach the lost. He will do whatever it takes to draw men and women to repentance, to turn the ungodly from their evil way. In this case, he used a boat. He used a storm at sea. He used some sailors who seemed to have more sense than Jonah. He had even prepared a great fish. He had it ready for when they threw Jonah overboard, because he was reaching for the souls of Nineveh. Because you can't put a value on one soul. It doesn't matter what it takes. It does not matter what it costs. It doesn't matter what needs to be invested. Souls are more important than anything. Matthew 16:26 declares, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Could God use a storm today? I certainly believe so. Could God use a great fish today if that's what he needed to use? But more than that, we read in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. That is the plan for this day, that those of us who have been so blessed to be filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, I tell you, this gift is not just for us. It isn't just to make us special, but it's power today. It's power to be witnesses unto all the world, to all those who are lost. That is the plan. That is God's will, that we would be witnesses of this truth. Are we fulfilling the will of God in our life today? Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for it. Thank God for salvation. But it was given to be power so that we can be witnesses, so we can tell people about Jesus, so we can win the lost, so we can shake our city. Romans 10 and 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Preaching may seem so limited. Why would God use preaching? It might not make sense to the world, but it's God's plan. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Thank God for preaching. Preaching may seem so simple to us, but there's no limit to what God can do through a willing vessel. Jonah spoke as God commanded him to do. And Jonah set a worldwide record for people repenting at one sermon, at one message. He preached what God told him to preach, and the city heard it, and the city repented, and they went on a fast. The Bible says, from the greatest unto the least. And God saw down from heaven. He saw their response. He saw their repentance, that they turned from evil, and God withheld destruction because they repented. But preaching is what made the difference. That's what brought results. Isaiah 55 and verse 11, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. I tell you today, God's word shall not return void. When we think of preaching, we may think of preaching behind a pulpit, preaching in a church service. But I'm telling you, you can preach a message on the streets of this city. You can preach a message in your school. You can preach a message by your life lived, working day by day. You can preach a message just by those in your neighborhood who know you live for truth and live for holiness. Hey, God's word is not going to return void. But our job is to call for repentance. Our job is to spread the gospel in every place, in every side of town. God told Jonah to go preach to Nineveh, that great city, to cry against it, for their wickedness was come up before him. And if they did not repent in 40 days, God would overthrow them. That was the ultimatum. That was the message. And it's the message to everyone under the sound of my voice today. It's the message to every lost soul in the city of Springfield today. It's God's ultimatum to this city. I don't know how many days God has destined for you, but don't you know he's allowed a space of time? He's allowed a space of time. He gave Nineveh 40 days. I don't know what he's allowed for the city of Springfield. But unless Springfield turns around, unless we repent, unless they heed the voice of God, then just as Jesus said in Luke chapter 18, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. It all begins at repentance. How foolish to think that we can be saved without it. Oh, how ridiculous to believe that we can come to God just as we are and not change a thing. Oh, I tell you, it all begins at repentance. John the Baptist preached repentance. Great crowds came to hear him. What was it that drew them? Was it a fancy show with lights and smoke? No. Was it all the talent of his ministry team? No. Was it the beautiful building? No. They gathered out in the open. The people probably sat on the ground. What was it that drew them? It was that John burned with a message of repentance. Oh, it was a message from God, and they heeded that call, and they came to a place of repentance. Peter preached the same message on the day of Pentecost. Prayer brought them to a place where the Holy Ghost fell, and all the town gathered around to see what was going on. And Peter preached that same message of repentance. Oh, it brought conviction until they all asked, men and brethren, what shall we do? It didn't stop at repentance, but that's where it all began. And when they were convicted, Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It doesn't stop at repentance, but that's where it all begins. You've got to repent. I've got to repent. Springfield has to repent. I tell you, that message is still the same, and it's what our city needs to hear. It does not need to hear just grace and mercy and love. That's part of this gospel message, but it needs to be that you must repent. You must find your place at an altar of Jesus Christ. You must repent. Repentance is more than just admitting we're wrong. Millions and millions of people know they're wrong, but they don't do anything about their sins. Repentance is more than that. It's a complete change of attitude, where we turn away from the things we used to do, where we sacrifice our fleshly will on the altar and give our life to the Lord. We can't play around with sin. Don't you know Satan knows what he's doing? He's been at this for 6,000 years. He ruined Samson and stole his strength. He compromised Solomon, even though he was the wisest that ever lived. He caught up David, a man after God's own heart. He got Peter to curse. I tell you, we're no match for sin. We've got to repent today. Don't play with sin. Don't babysit sin. Don't put up with sin. But we need to find our place of repentance today. Repentance is more than just shedding a few tears. Repentance is more than just a little guilt over what we've done. Repentance brings us to the foot of Calvary, where we realize we need Jesus, that we'll die without him, that he's everything to us, and we belong to him because he shed his blood for us. Repentance is where every sinner of Nineveh had to find themselves. Without that kind of message, to where we realize we're lost without God, we come to an altar and say, God, I give you everything. Without that, we really haven't repented. Repentance is where it all begins. It doesn't stop there, but we've all got to come to a place of repentance. And it worked in Nineveh. In Jonah chapter 3, verse 6 through 10, for the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes, and he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God, yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence
that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. What Springfield needs is for a move of repentance to sweep the city. What Springfield needs is for men and women to begin to call upon the name of the Lord. For children to begin to reach God. Oh, to recognize that we're limited without him. And to begin to cry out to him. I tell you, we need a revival of repentance that will usher in an apostolic outpouring of the Holy Ghost. This city must be shaken. This city must be changed. From the greatest to the least. Every person, every neighborhood, every individual, there's got to be a sweeping move of repentance. And for that to happen, I believe there needs to be a sweeping move of repentance here in this house. If it's been too long since you laid your sins down, you need to find your place at repentance. If you've never been baptized, if you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost today, you need that before you leave. And God wants to do that in your life. For those who have already repented, you've already been baptized, you've already been filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost. What do you mean, Pastor? We need to repent? Yes, I believe we need to humble ourselves in repentance. We need to repent because we're too comfortable. We're blessed. We're blessed. We need to repent that we're too comfortable. Oh, we'd rather take the easy way than be a little uncomfortable and share the gospel. We'd rather turn and run instead of starting a Bible study. Well, that's not just my thing. Come on, Jonah. That needs to become our thing. That's what we're called to do. We're too comfortable being satisfied. Oh, just knowing the way of safety ourselves. And for that, we must repent. We're too selfish if we're not sharing the good news of this gospel. God didn't call us to keep all the blessings to ourselves. God didn't call us just to be saved ourselves. He called us to be witnesses for him, to transform our world. He called us to shake the city. In the book of Acts, they called the apostles those who had turned the world upside down. They didn't do that by just coming to church a few times a week and giving it an offering here and there. They didn't do that by just praying every now and then. They didn't do that by just fitting in with the world. And if so, they didn't shake their city by being comfortable. 300 died in a Texas school explosion. And if someone knew that those pipes were faulty, that is absolutely criminal. But how much more? If 160,000 people in Springfield, 450,000 people in the Springfield-Branson area, how criminal would it be if these people perish eternally because we didn't care enough to share the gospel? Because we didn't care enough to teach a Bible study. Because we didn't care enough to invite somebody to church. Because we didn't care enough to cry out in intercession for those who are lost. Come on, that's our purpose, Harvest. That's what we're here for, to shake the city, to make a difference in our world. We're here to reach souls. Thank God for a nice building. Thank God for it. But it doesn't take a nice building to reach souls. If we have a nice building and we're not reaching people, then we've missed our purpose. Thank God for great music. Thank God for a sound system. Thank God for departments and ministries. But if we're so worried about whether we sing a new song or an old song, or whether the young people are trying to figure out if they're going to play basketball or volleyball, or if we get to arguing about it's too cold or it's too hot, if we're worried about all of that, but we haven't taught a Bible study lately. If we're not winning souls, or if we haven't at least prayed a prayer of intercession for our city lately, then we've missed it. God, forgive us. We need to repent today. God, forgive us of our selfishness. Forgive us of our complacency. God, repent. We repent for being too comfortable. We repent for not caring more about souls. God's working on us today. Be that in the beginning of the service, he just knew that he wanted to move on some hearts, and he just wanted us to get in tune with him. A whole city came to repentance. The king of Nineveh himself repented and proclaimed a fast for everybody in the city, even their cattle. Even the king called for prayer that they would turn from their evil ways, and God saw their works, and he heard their prayers, and he accepted their repentance. But in the next verse, we read in Jonah chapter 4, verse 1 through 3. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. And herein we find Jonah's problem from the very beginning. He knew that the call of repentance would be heard. He knew that God would have mercy on the people and that they wouldn't be destroyed. He knew that the city of Nineveh would have revival if he went there as God commanded him to do. But he didn't want that revival for them. He would rather that they be lost, that they be destroyed. He believed that salvation was for the Jews only, and Nineveh was beyond the bounds of Israel. And so God had to teach him some things through trials and afflictions. God had to teach him about his mercy and his grace and his love. And so we must learn some things about God's mercy and about God's grace and about God's love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, in the story of Jonah, he goes out of the city and he makes him a little shelter. And he's relaxing there. And he watched to see what would happen to the city. And the Bible says that God prepared a plant. It was a leafy plant that came out and grew very fast over Jonah, and it was there to shade his head, and the Bible says to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was exceeding glad for it. But God also arranged a worm that attacked the plant. And when Jonah got up the next day, the plant had dried up, and Jonah was angry. And Jonah said to God, why is this? God said to Jonah, you don't care about those people, but you care more about this plant. You didn't even have to work to bring this plant. I gave it to you. And you care more about this plant than you do that city of 120,000 people. And God said, why shouldn't I care about Nineveh? A city of 120,000 living in spiritual darkness, 120,000 people, it says, didn't know their right hand from the left hand. They didn't know right from wrong. Oh, Jonah, you cared more about that little plant that grew and died all in one day. But what about the eternal souls of this city who are lost without a hope unless they repent? God's moving on me here today. I hope God's moving upon you today, because we've got lots of things that we can get sidetracked with, and we've got lots of programs, and we've got lots of things and departments, and all of that's great, but what is our purpose? Our purpose is souls. Our purpose is souls. Come on, do we care more about what our title is in our ministry than we care about the family next to us that's going to hell? Come on, do we care more about who's wearing what and what the latest fashion is than we do about those in this city that don't have a hope unless we would teach them a Bible study, unless we would love them with a godly love? Oh, what is it that we're more concerned with than the souls of this city? What is it that's more important to us that we can't pray a prayer of intercession? What is it we're so wrapped up in that we can't teach a Bible study? What is it we're so selfish about that we can't devote at least some of our time during the week for the cause that Jesus has called us for, being a witness for Him? Oh, Jonah, there's something more important than your feelings. There's something more important than what this city deserves. If we all got what we deserve, we would be dead. But the mercy and grace of God has reached us, and we're called to show that mercy and grace to the world. I tell you, Springfield needs to come to repentance. Springfield needs revival. But Springfield needs a church that will love the souls of the lost, that will devote themselves, first of all, to loving the lost, and above all else, reaching for souls. Harvest, do we really care about the souls of this city? Do we really care about the souls of Southwest Missouri? How are we going to feel when the lost come and start filling our pews, stealing our precious seats? What are we going to do when we're overrun with spiritual babies that have to be cared for and taught and discipled? It takes time to bring up new babies. It takes work. It takes long hours. But I tell you today, it's worth it. We've got to make sure our heart is right. That's what we're called to do, is to reach this city, to shake this city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, let me ask us here today, Harvest, what will we do if entire congregations all over Springfield start coming to the knowledge of the truth? What will our reaction be? At first we say, oh yes, but what will our reaction be when churches start getting the revelation of the oneness of God and holiness and the infilling of the Holy Ghost? Will we rejoice in their salvation, or will we, like Jonah, get an attitude because we were the first Pentecostal church? And we're supposed to be the chosen ones. What's going to happen if all of a sudden people all over the city start repenting and crying out to God, seeking God for a way of salvation, and they start getting a revelation of truth, and it doesn't come under the Harvest banner of ministry? Hey, do we love the work of God enough to rejoice in the salvation of a city, or will we be upset like Jonah? We must be about the Master's business. We must be about the work of reaching souls. That's our purpose. That is foremost, our foremost responsibility. It's what we're called to do. And however God chooses to reach them, that's totally fine. But we're called just to plant the seed. We're called to cover the city in prayer. We're called to tell everybody we know about the goodness of Jesus. We've got to be a witness. And God's the one that brings the increase. Would you stand with me today? Springfield must come to a place of repentance. Nineveh had 40 days. I'm not sure what God's time frame is for Springfield, but the city must come to repentance. How many souls are we willing to let go to hell in this city? How many of the 160,000 plus are we willing to let slip through the cracks? God, wake us up. God, help us to get busy about the Master's business. We need a city. We need a city-wide revival. We need a city-wide call to repentance. We need a city-wide outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And that repentance needs to start with us today. you haven't repented of your sins, if you've never been filled with the gift of the Holy Spirit, if you've never been baptized, I believe that you need to come to a place of repentance today, to where you turn away from sin and you turn away from your evil past. You need to ask God for forgiveness. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. You need to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost today. And that can happen. I believe it can happen in our time of prayer here. But if you've already been filled with God's Spirit, we still need to come to a place of repentance. Repentance for our complacency. Repentance for not doing more to reach the lost. Repentance for being too comfortable. Repentance for not loving the lost more. Repentance for putting too many things in life ahead of the work of God. I could take you back 5 years, 10 years, 20, before we were in this building here, to some of those services where the call of God went forth. Some heeded the call. Some let God bring them into a place of ministry and service for His kingdom. Others, there was too many other things that were more important. And how many souls in this city have not been saved because someone didn't answer the call? 5 years, 10 years, 20 years ago. We can't change all that today. But what we can do is answer the call, so that if the Lord tarries 5 years down the road, 10 years down the road, each of us have reached those that we're responsible for. Come on, I'm telling you, there's a call of God in this house today. I'm not saying you're called to be a preacher per se, but you are called to preach the gospel. You are called to share this gospel. You are called to share this truth. I'm not saying some of you aren't being called to be preachers today. I believe that calling is in this house right now. And somebody needs to say, God, here I am. I repent, Lord. I repent. I'm too comfortable. I'm too satisfied. I'm too complacent. Lord, I repent. I've got to be about your business. Is there somebody you'd join me this altar right now in a place of repentance? God, I've got to do more for you. I've got to do what I can to shake this city. I've got to do what I can to reach the lost. I don't want to be lacking in the place of ministry that you've called me to. Nothing is more important. Nothing is more important. God, I repent for you today. Oh, I would that we'd all find a place of repentance. I would that we'd all humble ourselves and pray today. I would that we'd all seek the face of God right now in the name of Jesus.